And Linda, for that wonderful praise, worthy is the Lamb. I'm so thankful to God, especially that I see Paul with us. I thank the Lord for giving you the strength after a whole week in the hospital. So we praise the Lord, and we're glad to see you here, Paul. Also for Merle, I know she's been recovering, but we are so thankful also that you're back. And Angie and Rodriguez family, I want to thank the Lord for keeping them, especially in this time of grieving, as they lost their brother, Juan, who is now resting in peace, resting in the Lord, waiting for the time when Jesus comes again and resurrect him. But thank you for all of those that were present yesterday as we did that funeral service. Thank you for your support for the whole family. And I want to thank the Lord because we are in a new Sabbath. How many of you want to praise God for that? It's a Sabbath. Sabbath is not just a regular day. Just keep in mind, Sabbath is the day of the Lord. And for that, we are to be rejoiceful. We have to be happy. We have to, in a way, know that we are in the presence of God. This morning, and I thank Linda, because her message this morning in Sabbath school kind of relates to the message that we have today. We are in February, the second month of the year. And with this, we're introducing a new emphasis. All right? And what is something that we always talk about in February? Valentine's, right? But what is it with Valentine's? Yeah, everybody said it's love. We celebrate love, but mostly we talk about friendship, right? So that's why the whole month of February, we're going to be talking about friendship. That is going to be our theme for the month. And our message for today is titled, Jesus Called You Friend. You know, there is a difference between me calling you friend than Jesus calling you friend. Do you know what the difference is? I hope you do. If not, together in this study, we'll figure it out. What is the difference? Because there is, believe it or not, there is something in there when Jesus called us friend. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day of life that you have given us. Lord, I want to ask that you embrace each one of us with your love. And also, Father, I want to ask that you give us the spirit of discernment so that we are able to understand what you have for us this morning. We want to go deep into your scripture, in your holy word. So allow us to be worthy of receiving this message. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those that were here this morning in Sabbath school, Linda gave us a good definition of what friendship is all about. And I just want to skip that part because we already took time. But I just want to say that with friendship comes relationship. Yes? With friendship, or friendship brings relationships. So relationship define life. How do I know that? Do you think relationship define life? Huh? Do you think your relationship with others define you for who you are? Or do you think your relationship with God or Jesus defines your life? Just keep that in mind. Now, sometimes we take away and left that existence of relationship. Sometimes we think that we could live without relationships. But that's kind of like impossible. So far, I haven't seen no one yet that will say, I have no relationship with anybody. Because that would be a lie. One way or another, you and I, we have relationship. We as human beings, we have to have relationships. Now, you take relationship away, and your home will be just a house. This church will be just a building if we take relationships away. Now, Jesus sums this up in the commandments with two simple lines when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So what is Jesus introducing here? He is introducing relationship. A relationship between us and God, and a relationship between our brothers and sisters in God. So those two is what Jesus is introducing in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and on. Now, it is all about loving God and doing things His way, and loving people, loving life, just like we love Christ. Now, when I say that we or our life is defined based on our relationship with God, the reason why I say that is because without God, we don't know about love. Do you understand that? Without God, we don't understand love. Because God is love. So if we don't know the essence of love, that means we don't love God. And in order for us to understand what God is, or that God is love, we are to embrace a relationship with God. Otherwise, it will be impossible for us to understand what love is all about. And now, once we know the essence of love, which is God, and we have a relationship with the Lord, then we could understand better the love that we could have for one another, the relationship that we could have with one another as a community of Christians. If we don't have what it takes in friendship or in relationships, it's like not having God in our life. Yet, believe it or not, we are taught little about relationship. Yes, we're taught about God, what God is, what God does for us. But when we grow up, we don't talk about relationships as much. Parents are afraid of talking of relationships to children. So sometimes we have to find our own ways to be able to understand what relationship is all about. I'm pretty sure most of you now, you know. Because most of you, one way or another, you have a friend. For some of you, it might be your spouses. For some of you might be your children. For some of you might be someone at school. For some of you might be someone at work. For some of you might be someone here at church. But one way or another, all of us, in a way, we have friends. Amen? Now, when we talk about authentic relationship, what are we talking about? Because if I were to ask you, do you have friends? Yes, you will say, yes, I have friends. Do you have relationships? Yes, you will say, I do have relationships. But if I were to ask you, do you have an authentic friendship? What will you say? Do you? I hope you do. I hope you do have an authentic relationship. And I will explain that in a little bit. So let's look to the book of John. John chapter 15, verse 9. Look what it says. John chapter 15. We'll start reading in the verse 9. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Okay? He said, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. So Jesus is saying to his disciple that the same way that God loves him is the same way that he loves them. Now, if I were to ask you, do you love God? Do you love me the same way you love God? See, then it's not an authentic relationship. Do you understand? Because Jesus is saying, the same way that my Father, the same way that God loves me, is the same way that I love you. And that's what authentic relationship is all about. That's what authentic friendship is all about. Let's continue reading. Now, remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands, and I remain in his love. 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Will you lay down your life for me? Am I your friend? Am I your friend? Will you lay down your life for me? I can't call you friend. Amen. That's what Jesus is saying. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. Remain in me as I remain in my Father. When I obey his command, so the same way you could remain in me and in the Father if you obey his commands. Now, let's read 16. Greater love has no one than this, that laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. How many of you say amen? So Jesus has called you friend. So what is the difference between me calling you friend and Jesus calling you friend? Jesus already gave his life for you. Amen? I have not gave my life for you. So there is something different. There is something different there. Let's unravel this whole thing. Because there, Jesus introduces something new here. He said, I no longer call you servant. Is there something wrong of being a servant of God? Is there something wrong being servant of Jesus? But Jesus tells them, I no longer call you servant, but I call you friends. Now, if I were to ask you, would you prefer to be known by God as his servant or as his friend? What would you prefer? Huh? Friend. I would prefer, right? Now, Abraham was called God's friend, yes? Was Abraham called God's friend? Moses was also referred as to God's friend. For the Lord, in the book of Exodus, said 33:11, for the Lord will speak to Moses face to face as a man speak with his friend. Have God spoken to you face to face? Have God speaking you face to face as he did with Moses? He calls Moses friend and he speak to him face to face. Now, as I said, there is nothing wrong, okay, with the word servant. If Jesus is the Son of God, then to serve him is the best thing that we could do. Amen? But Jesus wants to make his disciples understand something better. You know why? Because a friend has a deeper relationship with the master than a servant will do. If you serve someone in your job, will you call your boss your friend? Huh? Will he be your friend? Interesting, eh? It's something interesting that Jesus is actually introducing here. Now, if Jesus is the Son of God, obviously, we have the privilege to serve him. He is indeed our master and Lord, and we are his servants. That's what we are. But Jesus must have something in mind that calls for a need to change the term. There must be something new that he wants to emphasize, or maybe to correct because of the disciples' lack of understanding. That's the only thing that I could, in a way, understand. Why does Jesus said to his disciples, I no longer call you my servants, but I call you my friend? The only reason what I could say is that in the context, it gives us an indication that there is something incomplete in the word servant. There's something incomplete there. Now, what is that? What is lacking in relationship of a master and servant? Guess what that is? It is the same thing that we learn in that passage. It is love. Now, when you serve someone, do you serve that person for love? Or do you serve that person because at the end of the week you're going to get a paycheck? Do you see the difference? Now, there was something in the air, there was something there that the disciples couldn't understand. What servant is? Because the same way we have the same problem today, that when we say we want to serve, remember that Jesus is telling his disciples that he calls them friends because his Father loves him and he serves the Father. Now, when we love God, who are we serving? Are we serving God or are we serving the people? Huh? Yes. When we serve God and people is what? A whole what? Package. Because when we serve people, we're not serving the people. We are serving who? We are serving God. And that's exactly what Jesus wants his disciples to understand. That's why he was more complex. That's why he was more deep into it. He said, hey, I'm no longer going to call you servants. For I'm going to call you friend. And that's the same thing that we are to do, my brothers and sisters, if we are to remain in God. If we are to remain in Jesus. That is the same thing that you and I are to do. We are to serve others the same way as Jesus has served you. We have to love others the same way that we love Jesus. Isn't something crazy there? Because how is that possible? How can we love God the same way we love others? Have you ever asked that? How? How can we love God? Now, here Jesus stresses love in relationship. Okay? In that passage. The love between the Father and himself. Love he has for the disciples. And the love the disciples ought to have for one another. Is one whole package. Now the emphasis here is clear. Our relationship with him has to do with love. We are more than just servants. We are his friends. Okay? Now the relationship of servant and master is a relationship of power. The relationship between friends is a relationship of love. And that's what Jesus wanted his disciple to understand. Because in a way, Jesus understood his disciple that it was probably easier for them to serve him, but it wasn't going to be easy for them to serve one another. And that's why Jesus introduced the word friendship. Now, what do you do to a friend? Do you do the same thing that you do for Jesus? If I were to ask you, who's your friend? I just hope you will say, Jesus is my friend. But your friend Jesus is asking you that you are to do to others the same thing you do to him. That if you love him, you are to love your others the same way. And that is not easy to do. That is not easy to do, my brothers and sisters. Now, from this principle, we can say that love cannot be kept until it is shared. Amen? Okay? Love cannot be perfect until it is given. Amen? When you share your life, you will obtain perfection in your life. When you share your joy, your love will be complete. And that's what Jesus said. Your friendship, your love is never going to be complete until you experience that love. Until you share that love with others. That's when that love will be. You share your joy, your love will be complete. Jesus said, if you love one another, my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. So unlike servants, my brothers and sisters, friends make sacrifice because they love each other. Men make sacrifice with one another if they love each other. A friend will not do more than is required because he is motivated by love. Jesus gave everything. Amen? Why? We know that Jesus gave everything. Because he gave everything he had. Gave his life for all of us. And that's everything we have, right? Because without life, we have what? Nothing. So Jesus calls you friend because he gave it all for you. Now, most people enter into a relationship with an eye toward what they can get out. Right? Isn't that what sometimes we do? I'm interested in this person because I know he could give me something. Rather than what they can put into it, if we start a relationship because we have an interest other than love, we had already started on the wrong foot. Because that's not what friendship is all about. So enter into a relationship with one eye towards blessing the other, completing what is lacking in the other, even to the point of sacrificing yourself. That is a true and authentic friendship. When we enter a relationship with this perspective in mind, that relationship is strengthened. And guess what? That relationship will perdure or will endure forever. Now, sharing your life just like Jesus did is not an easy task for us. That's why Jesus said, I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. He did not hide from them. He spoke openly to them and told them all that he knows. Jesus shared with them the Father's business. Do you have friends, you said? Do you have friends? Have you shared your Father's business to them? That's an authentic friendship. That's a true friendship. Now, Abraham was called God's friend. God shared with him his friendship. God told him. God guided him. God led him. Now, true friends know each other's business. A servant can be ignorant, but not a friend, my brothers and sisters. The distinction that Jesus made between a servant and a friend is between not understanding and understanding. The disciple couldn't understand what servant was. But Jesus was telling them, servant is those that I call friends. That's what Jesus is telling them. Jesus made known to his friends everything that he had learned from his Father. Jesus said in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Did you know that you can't bear fruit without the love of God? You cannot. Because if you don't have love, how can you bear fruit? In other words, if you don't have God in you, you can bear fruit. You could try it all you want. But what you bear is not going to be fruitful. As chosen friends, we know the Father business. Amen? Or at least we should. Jesus has already revealed everything to us. My question to you is, are you a friend of Jesus? Jesus has called you friend, but are you a friend of Jesus? You might be surprised to know that in the Bible, it provides greatest examples and specific principles to help us understand exactly how to be a friend of God. And I will share briefly, quickly, how can you be a friend of God? How can you be a friend of God? Because Jesus is there. He has called you friend. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we are a friend of His. So how can we become a friend of God? Number one, a friend of God is one who values His presence above all. What is it? A friend of God is one who values His presence above everything. Like Moses, he had spent the last 40 days along with God. While there, he had received both the law and the rules of worship from God. In fact, the conversion Moses shared with the Lord revealed Moses' supreme desire to know God intimately. That's why we know that God spoke face to face with Moses. Exodus 33:11. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friends. More than he wanted the promised land with all his prosper of stability and fruitfulness, Moses wanted the presence of the Almighty God above all. That's what Moses wanted. So how can you become a friend of God? Putting God first in your life. Putting God to be your priority in your life. Friends of God are they who prioritize their relationship with Him, not allowing the work of God ever to replace the God of the work in their devotion. Two, a friend of God will live a life of faith. At the foundation of every healthy relationship is trust. Amen? So how can you become a friend of God? You need to know Him. Amen? So you need to have faith on Him. You need to build a relationship with Him. You need to start studying the Word of God so that you could know Him. That's the only way that you will be able to live a life of faith. In James chapter 2, verse 23, the Word of God said, and the Scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. In other words, Moses and Abraham believe in whom? Believe in God. So if you want to be called a friend of God, my brothers and sisters, a friend of God, live a life of faith. Friends of God take Him at His word. They know that God will never ask them to do something that was beneficial to Him. Because everything that God does for us, guess what? Is to your own benefit. It's to my own benefit. Now, do you think your friends will do things for you? For your benefits or for their own benefits? Friends of God, they know that God will never ask them to do nothing beneficial to Him. Because Abraham believed in God, he was given the timeless label, friend of God. Now, a friend of God also is the one who joyfully seeks His benefit and advances His agenda. John the Baptist, for instance, thought, or gave us a great lesson In the waning moments of his public ministry, his own disciples complained that the new ministry of Jesus Christ had eclipsed their own popularity and in the sheer number of those that were baptized. To adjust their carnal thinking, John employed the illustration of a friend, a best man. For instance, in John chapter 3, verse 29, we learn, he that has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which stand and hear him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Isn't that wonderful how God in the scripture it relates bridegroom to be the best friend of the bride? Isn't that amazing? That's why this day we have spouses to be called best friends. Your true friend, my brothers and sisters, will rather take you, bask in the limelight that you receive the compliment and that you enjoy the credit. The closer one's relationship with God, the less he will be concerned about personal recognition. That's what a friend does. It is enough for God's friend to satisfy him, to then that God receives the glory, because everything we do is to the glory of our friend, to the one who calls us friend. Now, a friend of God will carefully guard his affections and amusements. Yes? Some friendships simply cannot exist simultaneously. James chapter 4:4, it says, you unlawful people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enemy against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Isn't that wonderful? To know that if we are friend of God, we are also friend to one another. Are you a friend of the world? Or are you a friend of God? I think we ought to take a moment in our life to analyze, to review our schedule and our priorities in our life. And believe me or not, your schedule, your priorities might tell you if you are really a friend of God or not. Review your schedule. You review your priorities. A friend of God is also the one that shares with others what God has done for him. Do you share what God has done for you? Do you relate to others the blessings that you have received from above? That's the only way that we could say that we love one another, if we share what God has given us, what God has blessed us. John chapter 15, let's read it again. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one life for one's friends. You are my friend if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything have I learned from my Father, have I made known to you. So what God has made known to you, what Jesus has shared to you, you are to share to others. Someone once said, "The request of a friend is a royal command." This statement is never more true than when it implies to the life of the follower of Jesus Christ. When it comes right down to it, we might know then if we do have friends or we have acquaintances. Believe it or not, most of us are acquaintances of God. Why? Who is an acquaintance? Someone that you see once in a while, right? But a friend is someone that you see every day. Now, my brothers and sisters, it's getting harder these days, okay, to build relationships, to connect with other peoples. Do you know, for instance, who is the man alive right now that has more friends than anybody else? Huh? Do you know who that is? Do you know this guy? He's a rapper. His name is Eminem. Do you know that he has 37 million friends in Facebook? How can he do to have a relationship with 37 million people? Isn't that what we do sometimes too? We think we have friends because those friends are the ones that click like. Right? And if they don't click like, they're not your friends no more. But I praise God because guess what? Even if you click on like or you don't like God, guess what? He still likes you. He still loves you. He still cares for you. So my brothers and sisters, it is time to build relationships. Relationships that will actually endure forever. Relationship that will remain for eternity. And that one relationship is your friendship with Jesus. In the book of Genesis, chapter 5, we find a remarkable story. And I will say, the shortest biography of someone in the Bible, Enoch. The Bible said, and you could read it, you could go home and you could read chapter 5, that talks about Enoch. How many years did Enoch, how many days did Enoch lived? How many years? More than 300. 365 to be precise. But out of those 365 years, guess what? Enoch established a relationship with God for 300 years. And guess what? That was back then. How many years had passed? And Enoch is still have that relationship with God. And he will have that relationship with God for eternity. Let's put this one in perspective. Enoch was so close to God that God had no choice but to take him with him. You can find it in the Bible. God had no choice but to take him. And guess what? Now Enoch is beside God because he walked with God side by side. And he's still walking with God side by side. Now Enoch and maybe Elijah will be the only ones that we know in the Bible, and the only men that we will know that most likely will not experience death. Because I don't know about us. I don't know. Hopefully Jesus will come before we die. But we know for sure that there will be the men that will be known that didn't experience death because they love their friend. They love God. Those are relationships forever. Amen? Those are relationships that are built for eternity. Now, would you like to build a relationship with the Lord the same way that Enoch did? I don't know if God will take you like He did with Enoch. But all I know is that those that Jesus called friends, they will be with Jesus for an eternity. Amen? Are you a friend of Jesus? Are you a friend of God? And I just hope, my brothers and sisters, that you don't just build a relationship with God, but you build a relationship with your brothers and sisters because they both work together. Because it's impossible for us to build a friendship with God if we don't have a friendship with one another. So it is time to love one another. It is time to build those relationships with one another just the way we have with Jesus. God bless you this morning.